This week, we begin a series of thumbnail sketches with people who've announced their candidacy for Spokane City Council seats. This is an interview between me, Rebecca White, and candidate Christopher Savage. He's one of five candidates who's running for Spokane City Council District 3 in Northwest Spokane. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. You can find more City Council interviews on SpokanePublicRadio.org. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself and why you are running?
My name is Christopher Savage. I'm about 30 years old. I've been a lifelong resident of Spokane. I'm currently a member of the Spokane Community Assembly as a representative for the Balboa South Indian Trail Neighborhood Council. I've also been affiliated with the organization Meals on Wheels as being a board member on that. I've also done some other stuff with in response to my employment history. Last 2 years, I was a Lyft driver, driving people around Spokane and meeting a lot of people from all walks of life. That was a great job. I really loved that job. And more currently, right now, I'm a host for the Pools Public House on the north side. The reason why I'm running is I've concerned about the direction that Spokane's taking. I've said this 2 years ago, where there seems to be a lot of policies and legislation that's being created that seems to not really work or seems to be superfluous to what is needed for Spokane to function properly. And it just wastes the time and resources of the tax citizens as well as the city council when they put their attentions towards needs and opportunities that aren't really there. And I'm probably one of the only few candidates that have been consistent. I've been here before the pandemic, I've been here during the pandemic, and I'm here after the pandemic, fingers crossed. But that's the reason why I'm running. I want there to be a consistent person that's from the local area that can represent the citizens properly, because I don't think that has been happening on the city council for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just get started on policy questions. My first one is both kind of economic development and recovery. Our economy has taken a pretty serious hit during the pandemic, with a lot of people unemployed and a lot of businesses closing for good. What should our city be doing to help both our economy and our community get back on their feet?
What they need to be doing is really working with the local businesses and giving them more of a helping hand during this pandemic. One of the sad news to hear is there's a little pub on Garland called Bureaucracy that had to close because of all the regulations and rules that they had to follow, and they couldn't just, you know, conduct a proper business. And that's one of the reasons why I'm Pools Public House, is to research the kind of problems and solutions that all these businesses have to make up for. And what needs to happen is there needs to be a lot more communication between the city council and the local business and a helping hand, because they are struggling and there are so many rules changes that are coming from the governor and the state assembly that it's hard for these businesses to stay afloat without some sort of local help.
And so when you say local help, what are some forms that local help could take?
Working more with the Spokane County and the surrounding cities like Spokane, Liberty Lake, Spokane Valley, the West Plains, Airway Heights, and trying to see if we can figure out some form of way of creating a ordinance or apply for grants or talk to our federal and local and state or regional governments for more assistance with aids like the CARES Act and stuff like that we can actually help with these businesses with, you know, the PPP, the Payment Protection Policy, so that they can retain their employees and not go out of business, as well as, you know, still stay in business with that kind of help and financial assistance.
Mm-hmm. And so there is about $84 million, I believe, is roughly the total amount. It'll come in two installments, coming to the city of Spokane in the new act that Congress did for coronavirus aid. You know, if you had a chance to weigh in on how that was spent, if there's still decisions to be made next year, would you dedicate a lot of that to small business grants or some sort of aid for the business community?
Yes, I would focus a lot on the small and local businesses, but also try to include some of the large companies as well, because they also provide a pillar of, you know, the local Spokane economy, that they also need assistance, that they're not just left hanging in the wind. But yes, I would try to more on the local and smaller businesses, because they seem to be harder hit by the pandemic than most.
And so I'll kind of move on to homelessness, which is something that's been sort of a focus of a couple campaigns for city council this year. You know, the current city council and the mayor's administration have been pretty heavily criticized for how they've handled homelessness, as in specifically, you know, when it gets cold, there's often a scramble to find more more beds before it really freezes. How can our city get ahead of that problem and be more proactive about preparing our shelter system for winter?
I think what we need to do is we have to have a kind of concise heading where everyone is going in the same direction, where we figure out the charities that we really want to help and assist that are really making a dent in this problem. Like for me, just like I said 2 years ago, I really support charities like the Union Gospel Mission. The statistics they put up and the people that they keep helping is just, it's hard to not look at that example and not see that they're doing what is correct for Spokane. I mean, over the past 5 years, UGM has helped an average of 200 men and women get jobs back and return to society as contributing members. That's amazing. There's also part of the UGM, they have an employment ready program, which is helping men and women overcome barriers to employment, like poor work histories and felony records and gaps in employment. Stuff like this will, I think, help abate this problem and help try to address it from a better standpoint than at this last kind of at the minute trying to scramble, as you were pointing out, to fix the problem at the last minute rather than trying to work on it consistently throughout the year.
And a couple of your opponents have really told me their approach is very much the housing first approach, where the first thing, you know, someone needs to be worrying about is, you know, shelter, and then kind of maybe addiction or employment or all of those other things can come after they, you know for sure that they're going to have a place to sleep. I guess, is that approach, because that's Union Gospel Mission, I know they have some sort of drug testing rules, or at least they previously have, before you can stay in their shelter. I guess, would your approach be different from Housing First, or I guess just how does it compare to that?
It would be a bit different. I wouldn't say I would be against Housing First, but it can't just be Housing First. You can't just give someone a house and expect them to restart their life. It's a whole process that needs to be integrated and has several steps to it, rather than just giving someone a home to be responsible for. It's a lot of these people on the streets sometimes have gone through a traumatic event that makes it hard for them to continue life. And we just need to address that by not saying, hey, here's a house, that's fixed the problem, because that won't do it. What they need is they need to have some sort of guiding in life, some sort of way of contributing back to society, as well as a purpose in life. Because most of these people, I feel like they have no purpose, and that's why they don't want to contribute into society, is because they have something so traumatic that they just don't want to keep moving on. We got to keep that in mind so that we don't just give them the housing, but we also have several other assistance steps that keep them with the house that they have been given.
And so my next sort of topic I wanted to, you know, this kind of relates to people in crisis. You know, as a city council member, you will have a say in the police department's budget, you know, how many officers they have, whether they purchase militarized equipment, or whether they hire more mental health crisis responders. Should our city be investing in more policing and equipment, or is now the time that the city council should really be looking at alternatives?
I am totally not for defunding the police. We currently actually need more officers. I remember back in 2019 when Major Ken Keene came to the community assembly, and he was telling us, even at that point in time, that there was a lot of police officers that were planning to retire, and we just don't have the police personnel to fill back those positions. And an example of that is we only have 5 traffic officers covering the whole city right now. And this was stated at several neighborhood councils by several police officers. And that just increases the lack of response time and the blatant speeding that a lot of people have been seeing across Spokane. So I think we need to focus more on how to correctly address this problem without making it worse. And I also support the Police Task Reform Committee that was created by Mayor Nadine Woodward at the beginning of this year. It still hasn't been operational yet, but there are steps that are being taken for civilian oversight on the police force here in Spokane that I think is going in the right direction.
Do you think that we need more, you know, without taking resources away from the police, more sort of like mental health crisis responders or co-deploy teams to go out there and address some of those issues that you had mentioned?
I think we are currently fine with the personnel that we have, because I honestly don't want to put mental health professionals in the way of danger when you're sending people out on these calls. Not saying these people are dangerous. It's just that, you know, the world out there is sometimes a harsh reality of place. And I don't want to put these health professionals in the way of harm when it should be our police force who are trained to do that, that should be doing that in the first place.
And so another, I guess, issue our city council has really been taking on recently is environmental policy. And so there's a couple of things that they've been doing, investing in electric vehicles, planting more trees, and looking at water usage. If you were on city council, would you support those efforts? Are there other things that our city could be doing to protect our air and water and land?
Currently, I think the city is already doing a lot to address those environmental issues. I think maybe some of them we may need to retool or kind of pull back on some of them, like the plant ordinance by Lori Kinnear that was brought up 2 years ago. I'm all for that kind of legislation that will plant more trees and that will make our city more greener. But with that in mind, what happened with the plant ordinance is that back in 2019, when it was finally going to be voted on, there was an amendment made at the last minute that changed the tree canopy projection from 20 to 30% to 20 to 40%. And that seemed kind of a bad idea, in my opinion, because trees don't grow that fast. And with having that legislation push for more of that stuff, it just pushes more for people who don't want that kind of legislation to make look like it doesn't work. And I want to make sure that I craft and create legislation that people will look at and that known that it was created properly, and that we don't have to address the problems after the fact, like this one with the plant ordinance, because I want to increase our tree canopy, but with the projections set in mind with that ordinance, it's not going to happen. Just trees don't grow that fast. And some of the projections and analytics they use for trying to compute the tree canopy seems kind of dubious. But I do like also support the water workshop for the aquifer that they're doing right now, which they're trying to address the water usage that I guess Spokane is one of the more overusage of cities in the nation, that we need to really address it during the summer months, because as of 2017, that was the first time in Spokane recorded history that we haven't recharged the aquifer to its original levels as it had previously been, which makes me worried.
And I guess my last kind of question, just sort of a sign-off question is I wanted to give you an opportunity to really make your pitch to your district. Why, compared to your four opponents, are you the best fit to represent District 3?
I'm the best candidate for District 3 right now, just plainly because I've been consistent. I've been doing this for the past 3 years in many capacities. I have many responsibilities with the city as well as the county. I'm a water conservancy board commissioner. I'm also the vice chair of the city salary review commission that set the salaries for the mayor, the city council, and the city council president. I've pretty much been at all the places needed to research and acquire the information to vote correctly and to make the best decisions for this district. And frankly, none of the other people I have seen been to these meetings or have been consistent. And it seems that in a time of, I don't know, weird politics, that I don't want to be a fly-by-night politician. I want to show that people that I'm here for the community, that I'm here for my neighbors, and that I want to do what is right by them and not for myself.
Well, I think that's a lot of the questions that I have for that I could think of right now. But yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to give me an interview.